We're holding on Kufdalad Omud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. The fifth line of the widest lines. Sila Kolamir, I'm holding. So, continuing on Darshaning Psukim from Eicha, which the Gemara had been doing. So a Pasuk says, from one of the Psukim, that we're going through various Psukim from Perek Aleph of Eicha, the Pasuk says, Siva cholabirai Hashem v'kiri. Hashem trampled all of my mighty ones within me. So what's this word, Siva? So the Gemara says, ka'odim sh'em l'chaver nifsala matbeyazu. Like when a person says to somebody else, this coin has been disqualified. Hashem has made them. Rashi explains sila, where the Mizmorphin Mitzila means a trampled down path, a road. So all the Abirim, all of the mighty ones, Hashem made them like puzzle, and as if like they've been trampled down like a road. So in other words, like a coin, Rashi says, once it's nifsal, once it's been bent out of shape, or once it's been the image on it has been hammered out, then there's no way of fixing it. So in other words, therefore, the same way we're saying that Hashem trampled and destroyed them, and like there's no way of fixing them and no way of restoring their strength afterwards. Marshall also points out, Abirai, in other words, we're darshaning Meloshan Evorai, Meloshan their limbs. So we're saying, in other words, like as if, so Marshall explains actually what it means is, in other words, like this, a person is killed, at least usually a man is killed, usually at least you can identify him so his wife can remarry. Here, we're saying that they were trampled, and like the way that a coin becomes defaced and unrecognizable, the same way the bodies were unrecognizable, and therefore their wives remained agunas, because nobody could testify for sure that they were dead. So that continues the Gemara. Now the Gemara switches over to darshaning a pasuk from Perek Beis from Eicha. The pasuk is Potsu Alayich Pihem. Your enemies have opened up wide their mouths against you. Now in Perek Aleph of Eicha, you have the Aleph Beis goes in order. You have the letter, all the pesukim go in order. Samach Ayin Pei. But in Perek Beis and Gimel and Dalet of Eicha, the Pei goes before the Ayin. The Pei pasuk from pesukim in Perek Gimel come before the Ayin one. So Omar Rava, Omar of Yechanan, Bishvil Ma Hiktim Pei La Ayin. Why in Perek Beis Gimel and Dalet is the pay placed before the ayin? The reason is Bishvil Meraglim, because of the Meraglim, the whole thing of Tisha B'Av, the whole thing of the Churban, is all, it all goes back to the Chet Meraglim, and the Meraglim, Sha'omru B'Fihem Mashalei Ro Be'Neihem, they said with their peh, with their mouth, like in the letter peh, what they hadn't seen with their eyes, the eye being the letter ayin. So in other words, what do? They came and told the Jewish people false things about Eretz Yisrael, which things that they hadn't actually seen, or things that they saw and men deliberately misinterpreted to tell the Jewish people. So therefore, so in token of that, is why we have the pay before the ayin, to represent that avera of theirs, that failing of theirs. Marashah points out, in that case, then why in Perek Aleph are they in order? So Marashah says, because otherwise we would think that, Yirmiyah, who composed Sefer Eicha, had Megillah Eicha, had a different order in the Aleph Beis. Yeah, his order in the Aleph Beis maybe had Pei before Ayin. And it's interesting, actually, they found in archaeological digs in Eretz Yisrael, they found inscriptions from the times of the first Beis Mikdash that show that there were people who in fact did that, who would put Pei before Ayin in their order of the Aleph Beis. They found, for example, a listing of the Aleph Beis that seems to have been made by a school child at some point. You know, a kid was being taught the Aleph Beis in Cheder, and he wrote down the Aleph Beis for himself, and they have Pei before Ayin, for example. So there really existed such an order, and therefore we need to be told that, no, that's not the regular order. He put Ayin before Pei in the first Perek. That is the actual order, and then that tells us that in the rest of the Perekim, it's different because of the Derasha. Okay, now the Gemara moves over to darshaning of Pasuk from someplace else altogether, Pasuk from Tilim. The Pasuk says, Oichle ami ochlu lachem, those who ate and consumed my people, ate bread, Hashem, like Karo, they did not call Hashem. So what does that mean? Omar Rava, Omar Rav Yechanan, Kala Oichel Milachman Shai Yisrael, any of the enemies of the Jewish people who eat of the bread of the Jewish people, Toyim Tam Lechem, and they taste a taste of bread. In other words, like they have satisfaction from it. In other words, the idea they have hana when they're able to steal and rob from the Jewish people. And you can have a person can eat many different things, but he doesn't really feel satisfied unless he has bread. So the same way, in other words, like they don't really feel satisfied unless they have an opportunity to take from Jews. If they don't steal and then rob and then take from the Jewish people, they feel as if they've eaten, as if they haven't eaten bread, as though they had everything else, but they weren't able to find any bread. So that's the Oichle Ami Oichlu Lachem. What's the Hashem Lo Karo? What does the Pasuk mean? They did not call Hashem. So the Gemara says, Rav Amar Elo Adayonin. So Rav says this refers to Dayonin who are corrupt, who pervert justice. It's because of their averus that therefore the Jewish people end up getting despoiled by their enemies. And the idea would be, Marashah explains, why are Dayonim referred to as Hashem like Karo? Because they're supposed to be calling people, they're supposed to be calling people to take a Shavuah and based in. But here they're doing it in a corrupt way and they're perverting justice and therefore they bring down Hashem's anger on the Jewish people. Shmuel says it refers to malamdim of children, where they do their work unfaithfully and dishonestly, and they don't take good care of the kids and make sure to teach them properly. So the same way, they're bringing down this anger of Hashem and causing us that we get harassed and then robbed by the goyim. And what does that have to do with teachers? Marashah says because again, the teachers are kore in the sense they call, they read. The word kore after all means both call and read. So they're reading together with the children. It's supposed to be that Hashem Karo. It's supposed to be they're reading properly with the children and teaching them what they're supposed to be learning in Cheder. And instead they do a bad job of it, so therefore Hashem Lo Karo, with their reading with the children, they're not calling on Hashem's name. On the Pasuk over there, actually, the Malbim has an interesting explanation that he says that it's referring to the time when the Chachamim made the Takana of saying brachas on food, which currently in Shlosha Parakim of Rambam, we're dealing with that point. There came a point when they realized there's a problem. People are eating bread. Oichle Ami, people in my nation who are eating bread, Hashem Le Karo, they're not calling Hashem's name, and therefore they made the Takana of 100 brachas, which will save us from our enemies. And the Gemara says, Miminon, when we have this list in the Mishnah of the people who lost their chelik olam haba, who is it that enumerated them? Meaning, obviously, you know, it has to be people who had Ruach HaKodesh, otherwise a Stama person wouldn't be able to say this or that person doesn't have a chelik olam haba. So Amar Rav Ashi, Anshe Knesset HaGdola Menom. The Anshe Knesset HaGdola, who they included Nevi'im and all the rest of them were Baalei Ruach HaKodesh, so they're the ones who enumerated them. The Gemara says, "Omer of Yehuda, Omer Rav, Bikshu Oid Limnes Echad." There was another person that they wanted to add to the list, and who is that one? Shloimeh HaMelech. Now, why do they want to add Shloimeh HaMelech? Because after all, the Pasuk says about him that Vayasarab Eini Hashem, that the Pasuk mentions on him that he built Mizbechus and then offered Korbanos to Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara tells us in Shabbos he in fact didn't do that. It's his wives who did that and he didn't protest, and therefore he's blamed for it. But nevertheless, therefore. So the Chachamim, these Chachamim, the Anshe Knesset HaGdola, were thinking to add him and that he shouldn't have a Chelek Olam Haba as well. But Dmus Diyoknei Shel Aviv, an image, the appearance of his father David, came v'nishtat chalufnehem and bowed down in front of them, prostrated himself, v'nishtacha, actually it says over here, and Agos Habach changes it, v'nishtatcha lufnehem, and it bowed down in front of them, like to plead with them, don't do that, v'lo yishkich v'la, and they didn't pay attention to it. They're determined to do this. But Eish min Hashemayim, a fire came down from Shemayim, v'lichucha Eish v'sapsalayim, and fire started licking at the benches that the Anshe Knesset HaGdola was sitting on. V'lo yishkichu aleihem, they still didn't pay attention. Okay, we have signs min Hashemayim, but nevertheless, this is how it says in the Pasuk, and this is what he needs. What's going on over here? Ben Yehoyada says, man, how could they ignore such blatant things, Min HaShemayim? He says that actually there was it was kind of, they're doing it almost as a play act. They know in future generations there are going to be people who say, wait a minute, the Pasuk says on him, Vayasara, Be'enei Hashem, what are we showing him, favoritism or something? Why are we not including him among those who Ein Lahem Chelek Olam Haba? So therefore, what they did is, he learns they went through this whole thing almost like as a charade in order that Hashem should demonstrate to them with all of these things, with David coming, with the fire coming, and so on and so forth, to demonstrate that no, Hashem is standing up on behalf of Shlomo's honor, and therefore that nobody should ever in the future try to second guess it and say, yeah, but after all. Maharsha also points out that the fact that David's image came represents the fact that, after all, the Pasuk says that Shlomo followed in the ways of David. So in other words, therefore, he's not so bad after all. When therefore we have reason to say that when it says on him that he worshipped Avodah Zarah, it doesn't mean that he did. It means that his wives did, etc. Or as the Gemara had said earlier in the Perek, Shabikish Livnos, he planned to build an altar for Avodah Zarah v'loy bana, and he didn't actually build it. So that's the thing. In other words, David comes to them to say, in other words, look, Shlomo was like me. But they're saying to themselves, okay, but still, that doesn't mean that he's so good. Then the fire came down in the Shemayim. Look, through Shlomo, the fire came down on the Mizbeach and the Beis Mikdash. But still, they said that's not reason enough for him to gain his Chelek Olam Haba. Yotza Basko V'omra, a Basko came out and said V'omra Lahem, and quotes them a pasuk from Mishle, ironically, which is actually written by Shlomo himself. Chozisa Ish Moher B'malachtoi, have you seen a person who's fast in his work? Lifnei Melochim Yisyatzav, such a person will stand before kings. Bal Yisyatzav Lifnei Chashukim, he will not have to stand in front of the ones who are in the dark, meaning the people who are in Gehenna. So what does that mean? The Baskol says, Misha Hiktim Besi Leveisoi. You're talking about a person who put the building of my house, the Besi Mekdash, ahead of the building of his house, his palace. As the Pesukim described, first he built the Besi Mekdash, and only then he started the construction of his palace. Veloy Oid, not only that, he took 7 years to build the Beis Hamikdash. His own palace, he took 13 years. Which means, in other words, he had them work as fast as possible on the Beis Hamikdash. It was a huge building. It still took 7 years. But the point is, we see that his palace was of a similar scale, and it took almost twice as long, meaning that he was hurrying things as much as possible with the construction of the Beis Hamikdash, as opposed to with his own palace. Fine, I can take my time over that. So it was just like that. Lefnei Melochim Yisyatzav, he deserves to stand before kings in Gan Eden. Bal Yisyatzav Lefnei Chashukim, he shouldn't be standing in front of and together with the dark ones, meaning in Gehenna. So the Baskel is arguing there's a good reason why he deserves a chelek. You see, he deserves to be, in other words, ahead of all the kings who are zeicha l'olam haba, not the chashukim, not the few dark ones that we said in our Mishnah. Lifnei, Maharsha explains, he was before all of them, after all. He was before all the kings who are mentioned in our Mishnah. And nevertheless, they still didn't pay attention. Yotza Basko V'omra, another Basko came out and announced, with the wording of a posik in Eov, Hame'imcha Yishalmena, is it from you? Is it your decision for how a person should be paid back for what he did? Kima Asta, that you're rejecting Shlomo from going into Olam Haba. Ki Ata Sivcha V'layani V'gomer. Are you the one who chooses and not me? Meaning that the choice of who goes into Gan Eden and who does not is ultimately up to me, Hashem. And if I'm showing you, Hashem is saying over and over that it shouldn't be the way you're thinking, then you have to bow to that. So now you have to ask in that case, then why does Hashem bother doing all of this in the first place? The fact is, we do often find that the Beis Din Shalmaila follows what the Beis Din Shalmata does. We find, for example, when it comes to Hashem judging on Rosh Hashanah, the Medrash mentions, for example, that the Beis Din on earth decides a certain day is Rosh Hashanah, and then so Hashem tells the Malachim to start getting the Beis Din Shtibel in Shemayim ready. Then if Beis Din on earth decides, you know what, no, we need to extend El by one day, then Hashem says to the Malachim, you know what, never mind, come back tomorrow and we'll do it. So Hashem follows, we find many examples where Hashem follows the decisions of the Beis Din Shamata. So here, if they really had decided that he doesn't come to Olam Haba, then Hashem might have, so to speak, had to follow that. So therefore, he has to sort of manipulate it with this whole thing to prevent them from doing that in the first place. And so the last thing he's telling them is, listen, it's up to Hashem. You have to realize this kind of thing is not up to you. And the point, so now that last phrase, ki ata sivcha v'layani, Rashi explains it as a statement, as a rhetorical question. Are you the ones who choose? Isn't it I who chooses? Maharsha says it's actually meant as a statement. Ultimately, a person has bechira chafshis. But on the other hand, the schar v'onish depends ki ata sivcha v'layani, it's a statement. When it comes to bechira chafshis, you're the one who chooses, I'm not, because I call bidei shemai. But the schar and the onesh, that is in Hashem's hands, and you're not the ones to decide that. The Gemara says, Doshe Rishumas tell you Oimim. People who would darshan the Psukim, Rishumas means the things that are written in Psukim, tell you Oimim. They used to say, of six of the seven people mentioned in our Mishnah, Kulan Voyim La'olam Abba, all of them do in fact come La'olam Abba. All the ones except for Bilam. Shenema, and they would douse in the following pasuk and tilling. The pasuk says, let's two pasukim back to back, Li Gilad, mine is Gilad, Veli Menashe, and mine is Menashe, Ve'Ephraim Mo is Roshi, Ephraim is the strength of my head. In the simple sense, this is David talking about the extent of his kingdom. Yehuda Mechokiki, Yehuda is my lawgiver, Moyav Sirachzi, Moyav is my wash basin, meaning I treat them as though they were a wash basin that you just throw around. In other words, like therefore I'm throwing and kicking Moyav around because they're subject to me. Al Edom Ashlich Nali. Over Edom, I will throw my Nali. Different Mephoshim talk about on the Pasuk where the Nali means my shoe. Like I'll treat them again, like in a degraded way, like as if I throw my shoe on them. Or where the Nali means my lock, like I'll lock them up. Alai Kleshes Hisroi Oi. With me, Kleshes Pleplishtim. Shout, meaning in other words, you better subjugate yourself to me and go and shout together with my army when I win because you're subject to me. So that's the simple meaning of the psukim. So now the Gemara darshan as follows. Li Gilad, Vili Menashe. So the words Li Gilad in the Pasuk refer to Ze Achav, Shenachal, and Ramos Gilad. Refers to Achav, who fell in battle in Ramos Gilad. And so Hashem is saying, so this is instead of it being David who's speaking these psukim, it's Hashem speaking this and saying, Li, he from Gilad, he who fell in Ramos Gilad, is mine. He belongs to me, Hashem, and he has a place in my body. The idea being, Marashah says, in other words, the Dershah Rishumas, they say, why is he referred to as Gilad? Because after all, he fell in battle trying to fight on behalf of the Jewish people and trying to conquer territory on their behalf, and therefore recapture it from Adam, and therefore in that schus, in that schus of that Mesiras Nefesh, then he gained himself a place in Olam Haba. Menashe, when it continues, Li Menashe, Kimashmoy. Menashe means not Menashe the Shevet, but Menashe the king. Why does he doesn't have to be called by any nickname over here, Marashah says, because after all, as we looked before, he did do tshuva. So his tshuva won him back Olam Haba. So in other words, he became what Menashe is supposed to be. Ephraim Moiz Roshi, when the pasuk continues, Ephraim is the stronghold of my head, the Yerovam to Kaasim Ephraim, refers to Yerovam, who comes from Shevet Ephraim, and Hashem again is saying, Li, he's mine, and he has a place, Olam Haba. In other words, Marashah explains, his schus is, after all, he was the first of the kings of the Aseret HaShvatim, he was appointed by a Navi, so therefore he doesn't deserve to be going to Gehenna, ultimately. Next, Yehuda Mechokiki, when the pasuk continues, Yehuda is my lawgiver, Zachi Teufel, that refers to Achi Teufel, David's advisor, the Ka'asim Yehuda, who came from Shevet Yehuda. He's nicknamed Yehuda. So Marashah explains this is we do still say that David is speaking these psukim. Achitofel was David's rebbe, as we know from Pirkei Avos, and Achitofel taught him two things in Torah, and therefore we call them Rabbi Alofu Miyadoi. So therefore, see, he's mechokiki, he's my lawgiver, as in he gave me laws of Torah that I didn't know before. So therefore, so through the Talmud, then Achitofel is zoicha la'olam haba. The same way Marashah says, the same way as we find, for example, that Reb Meir was able to bring Acher into Olam Haba, the same way David's chus is able to bring Achitofel into Olam Haba. So therefore, he's called Yehuda Mechoykeki. Next, Moyov Sirachzi. The pasuk continues, Moyov is my wash basin. Zegechzi, Shalokal Iskerechitza. This refers to Gechzi, who was punished with Saras because of matters involving washing. You have the whole story over there where Naaman had Saras, and then Elisha told him to bathe in the Yarden, and then afterwards Gehazi went and took treasures from him, and therefore that sentence swore falsely, and because of all of that he lost his place in the Rabbah. So it all began with washing in the Yarden. So therefore the pasuk is hinting at that punishment of Saras was enough to be mechaper for his Averis and get him a place in the Rabbah. What does the word Moyav come in? Marashah explains the word the word Moyav would refer to the word Moyav would refer to David. Rashi explains the word Moyav refers to David, who comes from Moyav. Marsha saying, okay, but where does that come in over here in connection with Gehazi? So he says what the Gemara means to say is the word Moyav is going with the previous thing. Yehuda mechokeki Moyav. Who is it who's saying Yehuda is my lawgiver? Is David, who descends from Moyav and who learned Torah from Achitofel. Then Sirachzi then would refer to Gehazi. Al Edom Ashlich Nali, the pasuk continues, on Edom I will throw my shoe or my lock. Zed Doyag HaDoimi, that refers to Doyag HaDoimi, so that means, so we're understanding Nali as a lock, like I will lock him in Gan Eden. In other words, he's not getting out of Gan Eden, he's not going to be schlepped out of Gan Eden by Kirkus Atuma. Instead he's going to remain in Gan Eden. Marsha brings, in other words, the Gemara is going to bring later on when it discusses Doyeg in more detail, that there were Malachi Chabala, there were destructive Malachim, one of whom took all, who burnt Doyeg and scattered his ashes in all the Batik Nesias and Batim Adrashas. So now David is saying, so Marsha explains it doesn't mean Nali as in a lock. Rashi explains a lock as in he'll be locked in a Labah. Marsha says also Nali means a shoe. It means, in other words, that now David is treading in the Batik Nesias, the Batim Adrashas, on the ashes of Doyeg. But that's his kapara, that indignity that he has to suffer, brings him chelik l'olam haba, after all. Next, the post continues, what about it says, Olai pleshes Yisroel, on me pleshes shout. So what does that mean? Omer malach ha'asharas lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the malachim, when Hashem is saying this, that all the, that based on what the Dershei Rishumis are saying, that these six people get into Olam Haba, after all, they say to Ribono Shel Olam, as far as Doyeg and Achitofel particularly, who were bitter enemies of David, so they say to Ribono Shel Olam, im yoveg David jahorag asa plishti, if now David comes along, and David killed the plishti goyas, v'hurdash hasbanach gas, and he caused that your children, the Jewish people, thereby inherited the city of gas, So now he's going to complain. I talk and my bitter enemies, the ones who were harassing me for many, many years and almost got me killed, you're going to give them a chelek l'olam haba? Ma ta'os aloy? What are you going to do to appease him? On the other hand, Hashem says, that's a light plushes, that David conquered and defeated the plishim. So all their last says in Reim Zelazah, Hashem says, fine, it's going to be up to me to make them friends to one another. In other words, Hashem says, basically, I'll broker a deal between them that David will be willing to be moichel. Marashah says particularly the Malachim's objection is regarding Doyeg. Now, when David first killed the Plishti, Goyas, we find in the Psukim, he comes with Goyas' head, he's carrying Goyas' head, and the very first thing is Doyeg starts casting questions on David's lineage. And Shaul is asking over there, Ben Mizah Hanar, which family of Shevet Yehuda is he from? Is he from Peretz, and he may one day become a king? And Doyeg is saying, never mind whether he's from Shevet Yehuda, he descends from Rus HaMoyaviyah, and he's Posel Lava Bakal, because that the halacha of Amoni V'loy Amonis Me'ovi V'loy Me'ovis was not so well known at that time. So right then, right after David's triumph, where he beat Goyas and then made a Kiddush Hashem, right away there Doyeg is coming in and trying to make trouble. So now the Malachim are saying, then in that case, Olai Pleshes, he just defeated Pleshes, and David's going to have a very good reason to complain. How you talking that now this enemy of mine, Doyeg, is going to get a chelik l'olam haba? So Hashem is saying, fine, you know what? Look, Doyeg's main problem then was an avera, ben adam l'chaveri. How is a person forgiven for ben adam l'chaveri? He has to ask forgiveness, and the other person has to be moichel them. Fine, Hashem says, it's up to me. I'll make sure, I'll see to it that David is willing to be moichel Doyeg, and then he'll be able to have a chelik l'olam haba.
Okay.
The Gemara says, now that we talked about, previously we talked about the things involving the Churban, so now the Gemara is going to bring in this connection about people's reactions after the Churban. The Pasuk says, Madua Shoiva Ha'omaze Yerushalayim Meshuva Nitzachas. Why is it that this people, that the people of Yerushalayim, have gone, they're being stubborn, Meshuva Nitzachas literally means a stubborn or an eternal backsliding. But what's this word Nitzachas? So the word Nitzachas is a Meforshim on the Pasuk explaining, Moshe Netzach, like forever, they're being stubborn and they don't want to do Tshuva. But the Gemara is going to understand, Nitzachas, Meloshin Nitzachen, Meloshin of victory. So Omer Rav, Tshuva Nitzachas Seshiva Knesset Yisrael Novi, means when the Novi is coming to the Jewish people and trying to get them to do Tshuva, they give him a very strong, a winning argument. Namely, and then therefore, Hashem is saying, why are they doing that? Why are they trying to say, well, we won the argument, therefore we can do whatever they want? Why don't they realize that ultimately it's not about who wins the argument, it's about you got to do Tshuva. So Omer Lahem Novi Yisrael Chizru B'Tshuva. The Novi tells the Jewish people, Neviim throughout the generations, that the psukim that the Gemara is going to quote over here, in part of the next psukim that the Gemara is going to quote, are actually from the Novi Zechariah, at the beginning of the second Beis Hamikdash. So Omer Lahem Novi Yisrael Chizru B'Tshuva. Do Tshuva. Aviseichem Shechotu. Listen, your ancestors who sinned against Hashem in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, Heichan Heim, where are they? They died all kinds of Mrs. Meshunas at the time of the Churban by the Shishin because of their Averis. So do tshuva so you don't be like them. Omru Lahen, or Omru Loi, So they answer back to him or to them, the Nevi'im, and they answer back, Nu, Unevi'echem Shaloi Chotu. Well, what about the Nevi'im? They didn't sin. Heichan Heim, where are they? They're also dead. So in other words, dead is dead, one way or the other. The previous generations are dead, so therefore their argument doesn't matter with Averus or not Averus. Eventually, everybody dies. Shenemar, as in fact we find, they had this very dialogue. The Navi says to the people, Aveseichem Ayehem, where are your fathers? Va'neviim ha'la'olam yichyu, and will the Neviim live forever? So in other words, the Gemara is understanding that this is a dialogue. The Navi is telling them, Aveseichem Ayehem, and they're answering back, So therefore, this is the tshuva nitzachas. This is the winning argument that they're trying to argue back and saying that's not a reason for us to have to do tshuva just because so we avoid the fate of our ancestors because no matter what, everybody dies anyway. Omer Lahen, so he answers them. So you have parenthesis over here. So there's actually different Jewish stories over here. Is he saying your ancestors before they died, they ended up admitting that they had done wrong, they did tshuva. So you should as well. Without the word Aveseichem, it's saying that the people of Zechariah's times eventually gave in and realized, you know what, that's not an argument, and it's true, we do have to do tshuva. V'hoidu, and they admit it. Shenema, as the next pasuk continues in Zechariah, Ach dvorai v'chukai asher tzivisi es avodei ha'neviim v'gemer. However, my words and my laws that I commanded my servants the neviim, and the pasuk goes on to say, the pasuk continues that your ancestors, all of these things happened to them, and they in fact said, as Hashem planned to do to us, so He did to that. So He did to us. So they were makabel din shamayim on themselves. They eventually realized that Hashem is right, that Hashem is just in what He does to them, and they did tshuva. So ultimately, Hashem does win the argument. Yes, we do have to do tshuva. So in that case, Maoshaw says, then why are we calling it, now Maoshaw's gear says, without the word Aviseichem, which means that the people of Zechariah's times eventually gave in and said, you know what, you're right, we have to follow Hashem. Well, in that case, why are we calling it a Tshuva Nitzachas? So first, the argument is, in other words, he's saying, listen, your ancestors died in unusual ways, in Mrs. Meshunas, as opposed to the Nevi'im, at least passed away in natural ways. So now they had to admit, you know what, you're right, that is a difference. It's true, everyone dies, but our ancestors died in such unnatural ways at the time of the Churban, and it's true, we should do tshuva so we don't suffer the same fate. So therefore, that's what the pasuk says. Kasher zomam Hashem tzvokas lasis lanu, just as Hashem planned to do to us. Kain osir itanu, so He did with us all the punishments that were said through the Nevi'im. So therefore, eventually the Jewish people recognize that this is how it is. He also points out, by the way, the expression in the pasuk "Kain osa itonu" is very significant. If it just meant that he did to us, it would say "Kain osa lanu." "Kain osa itonu" means Hashem did with us, which means, in other words, even in all the tzaras, Hashem still shows "Imay anechi v'tzara." Hashem is always with the Jewish people in all their tzaras, and Hashem is not just abandoning us and saying, "Fine, whatever happens to you, happens to you." Hashem is still very much keeping an eye. Is still very much keeping an eye on things. So eventually, in other words, we do give in, and we realize that yes, the person does that. We do have to do tshuva, and we can't get out of our allegiance to Hashem. So then Yada makes a bit of a different point as well. He says that to begin with, when they misunderstood the Navi, when he tells them, "Avseichem aheichan heim," he meant, in other words, that they thought he meant that we mean life in Olam Hazeh. And then he explains to them, "No, I'm talking about that the fact is your ancestors did tshuva while they were alive, so, and therefore at least they've gained a place for Olam Haba. So now a person is going to do tshuva at some point, either in Olam Hazeh or in Olam Haba, and they at least did it in Olam Hazeh, so you have to do the same thing." The Gemara says Shmuel brings a different drasha about what happened at the time, about the argument that the Jewish people are arguing that we should be potter from Torah mitzvahs. Bo asod b'nei Adam b'yoshvul afonav. 10 people came and sat in front of the Navi. Omar, the Navi is telling them, "Chizru b'tshuva, you have to do tshuva." Omrulai, they answered him, "Eved shemachri rabbi." Imagine, for example, an eved who was sold by his master, the isha shegir shabayla, or a woman who was divorced by her husband, klum yesh lazal zeklum. Does either one have any claim on the other? So in other words, they're arguing that Hashem has divorced us and sold us, and therefore Hashem has no further claim on what we do or don't do. Omalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Navi, but Hashem tells the Navi, "Leicha mer lahen," go tell them, "No, you're wrong." Eze, as the pasuk says in Yash and Yeshaya, Eze Sefer Krisus Imchem Asher Shilachtia, where is the document of divorce of your mother that I sent her away? Meaning, do you have a document showing that Hashem divorced the Jewish people? No, you do not. Or which of my creditors, is there anybody who Hashem, so to speak, owes money to and therefore I sold you to them? No, hein ravani sechem nimkartem, you were sold only because of your averus, over fishechem, and because of your deliberate averus, your rebellious averus, shulcha imchem, your mother was sent away. So in other words, you're not like a woman who was divorced or a slave who was sold. On the contrary, it's like a woman who leaves her husband and hasn't received a get, or like a slave who runs away from his master. But you're doing that. You think that you're free of Hashem, but in fact Hashem has never given up his claim on you, and therefore no, you're still under Hashem's rishus. So, in fact, the Medrash says actually that the Novi that they came to with this claim was Yechezkel, and in fact the Medrash says that among the people who came with this claim is none other than Hanani Mishael Azariah. Here we had earlier in the Perek how they went on tremendous Mesiras Nefesh, but there was a point, the Medrash says, when they were also ready to give up and to say, you know what, we should be like all the other goyim. Hashem has obviously given up on us. So the Novi has to explain to them that no, it's not so. Marshall also points out, you know, like this, you have 10 people make a minion, 10 people get together, and you have the Shechina over there. Therefore, corresponding to that, you have over here almost like an anti-minion over here, a minion of people coming and saying that we shouldn't have to be under Hashem's control anymore. Ben Yehoyada goes into a point that they have as far as the get. They're mentioning two things. They're mentioning a get, and they're mentioning a woman with a get, and they're mentioning a slave who was sold by his master. Hashem only replies through the Navi about the case of the woman who was divorced. He doesn't mention. He brings the pasuk Eza Sefer Krisus Imchem. What about the part with the Eved? So he explains, in other words, like this, as far as the Eved, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, the Goyim to whom Hashem has, so to speak, sold us are themselves Hashem's Avodim. So you can't really say that it was sold as an Eved in the first place. Yes, so to speak, Hashem does owe them one, because, for example, the Nebuchadnezzar with his 3 or 4 steps, as we learned earlier in the Perek, so therefore we can't truly say that Hashem didn't sell us, but on the other hand, the fact is, it is true, Hashem owes them someone, and therefore he gives them control. But on the other hand, the fact is they themselves belong to Hashem, and therefore when and therefore it goes right back to Hashem. So therefore he really only has to refute the part where they're claiming that we were divorced by Hashem, and therefore that we have no further allegiance to Hashem. And the Navi is telling them it's not so. There's no document. There's no such document of divorce. So thus the pasuk says, "V'hainu d'amar Shlokish." That's what Shlokish says. "My dechtiv David Avdi Nebuchadnezzar Avdi." Why did the pasuk call both David and Nebuchadnezzar Hashem's servant, and they're the polar opposites? It means Goli v'Yadrolif Nimi Sha'amav V'Hoya Olam. Hashem knew well Shasidni Yisrael Loimakach that the Jewish people are going to make such an argument that Hashem sold us to Nebuchadnezzar, and therefore he has no further claims on us. So therefore, Lefichach Hiktim Hakadosh Baruch Hu Kroy Avdi. Therefore, Hashem proactively called preemptively calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant, and after all, Eved Shekona Nechosim, Eved Lemi, Nechosim Lemi. When an Eved acquires Nechosim, who does the Eved belong to and who does the Nechosim belong to? It all belongs to the master. So the same way Hashem is indicating with that, that no, even though you're in Nebuchadnezzar's hands right now, he in turn is in my hands, he's my Eved, and therefore you still belong to Hashem. The Medrash, by the way, mentions a bunch of parallels between David and Nebuchadnezzar. Among other things, both of them ruled for around 40 years, and then many other things in which we can see that Nebuchadnezzar is like the anti-David. He's like the umas zeh of David. So the Gemara continues, in this connection, the Navi Yechezkel said to the people, so in fact, the Pasuk in Yechezkel describes that there were people who came and sat in front of Yechezkel to ask him, and that was their question, is why should we have to still be faithful to Hashem? So the Yechezkel gives them a long nevuah, telling it's Perek Chof of Yechezkel, he tells them all about, he reminds them over and over how Hashem did such tremendous chesed for the Jewish people throughout all the generations, even though the Jewish people had done serious averus, but over and over, Hashem saved us in order to prevent a chil Hashem, and then the Novi says, "Va'ola aruchachem." What comes into your minds, hoyaloi, into your hearts, into your spirits, hoyaloi siya, it will not be, asheratam oimim, you're saying, niya kagoyim, kemishpachos ha'aretz, let us be like the other nations, let's be like all the other families in the world, l'sharis eitz v'evan, and we'll worship wood and stone. No, the Navi says, chai oni nuom Hashem alekim, as I live, says Hashem alekim, imloy, that it will, if it will not be, meaning it will certainly be, the yod chazaka, with a strong hand, or vizroya neturya, and with an outstretched arm, over chema shfucha, and with poured out fury, emloy chaleichem, I will rule over you. So in other words, Hashem is saying, you don't have a choice. No matter what, you're still going to be my subject, whether you like it or not, and I'm going to make that happen no matter what, and you're going to continue being my people, and I'm going to take you out of Golos. So Amar of Nachman, said of Nachman says, Kol ki hayrischa lutach rachmona alon v'lefrikinan. If only Hashem would show us that anger, as long as then he takes us out of Golos. In other words, yes, if that's what it has to be, so be it. But in other words, daloi Golos, enough Golos already. We want out. We want that Hashem should rule over us, ba'al kochenu, and show that and take us out of Golos. In this connection, the Gemara, by the way, mentions in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that you have it mentions over there when it comes to Malchias, Zichronis, and Shofaris on Rosh Hashanah, we can't use Psukim of Puranus. We can't use Psukim that refer to something bad for the Jewish people. So the Gemara gives this Pasuk as an example, and it says, even though, as we're saying, this anger of Hashem is going to bring about Hashem's kingship over us, and that Mashiach comes, and Hashem is openly our king, nevertheless, we don't want to mention Hashem's anger on Rosh Hashanah.
So this Pasuk is not used.
Oh. You see, you don't have it in the Masechta yet. Another argument between the Nevi'im and the Jewish people. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the Yisrael Mishpat Elekov Yerenu. He will chastise him. He'll give him Musar and he'll give him suffering for judgment. His God will teach him. So this is also a dialogue between the Navi and the Jewish people. Omer Rav Baba Chana, Omer Lahem Navi Yisrael, Chizru B'Tshuva. The Navi is telling the Jewish people, do Tshuva. Omer Uloi, they tell him, Einon Yecholin. We can't. The Yetzahara, Sholet Banu. The Yetzahara is dominating us and it's too powerful. Omer Lahem, so he answers them, the Yisrael Amishpat, he tells them, Yasru Yitzrechem, chastise your Yetzahara. Don't say my Yetzahara is too powerful and I can't. Chastise it, show it who's boss. As the Alter Rebbe phrases it in Tanya, yell at the Yetzirah, call it all kinds of names if necessary, whatever it takes to do whatever it takes to get rid of it. So Omruloi, but the answer is back, Elekov Yerenu. Hashem has to teach, has to guide our Yetzer to lead us in the straight way. In other words, it's up to Hashem that they're arguing that it's in Hashem's hands whether the Yetzirah is going to tempt us or not. So now that's obviously incorrect. Person has bechira chofshes. But then again, this is an example of one of those arguments where we see, in other words, the Gemara wants to tell us how far the Rishoyim in that time were going, saying we should be potter from any punishment for our avedas, because after all, we're just in the grip of the Yetzer Hara and we can't do anything about it. And yes, so this is another example of we said before, mishuvah nitzachas, that the Jewish people are trying to give what they think are winning arguments that they shouldn't have to do tshuva, and this is another example of one of those arguments that they were putting forward.
Do you mention before you was I also were asking this question?
So we said that the Medrash says that the 10 people who came and asked Yechezkel, why shouldn't we put you from mitzvahs now? Hashem has seemingly divorced us or sold us. Yeah, the Medrash mentions that Hanan, Mishael, Azariah were among them. But then, in the end, of course, Yechezkel answered them that no matter what, Hashem is going to be your king. And they took it to heart, and they went on Mesiras Nefesh.
That's not something they're asking. No,
so these are different groups of people, pastors, who came with different arguments. One group is coming and saying we shouldn't have to listen to Hashem at all. Another group is saying, fine, we agree we have to listen to Hashem, but it should be up to Hashem to control our Yetzer Hara rather than putting all the onus on us.
Just the Yetzer Hara's temp conclusions.
Yeah. Now the fact is there is a certain validity to it, because I'm bold entire Messiah Noisa, so they have a right to ask Hashem for assistance, but the fact is they have to make the first move. Next, the Mishnah had said, Arbor had Yojis. The Mishnah had said so far we went through the three kings who lost their place in Elamabar, Achav, Menashe, and Yerovam, Achav, and Menashe, and we went in detail through all of that and whether they regained their place in Elamabar, etc., etc. As far as, by the way, what this drasha that we said before, the drasha Rishumas, one vote is, in other words, so like this, Maharshar explained each of them has his own individual reason why he gains a place in Elamabar, because of what the punishment that he endured or whatever. Out of Bechlal, there's the point, though, that when we say in the Mishnah, Ko Yisrael, Yesh Lehem Chelek Elamabar, means, in other words, that from the point of view of the individual drasha, yeah, you can have a Yerovam, you can have an Achav or whatever, but after all, he's still part of the collective Jewish people, and therefore, in the schus of that, he's able to gain a place in Elamabar. So now we said in the Mishnah there were four commoners, Bilam, V'doyek, V'achitofu, V'gechazi. So now we're going to again go through them one by one and darshan things about them. The first one is Bilam. Why is he so called? Beloy Om. He's without a people, meaning Om refers to the Jewish people. He doesn't get a place with the people. He doesn't have a chelek, let alone both, together with Am, together with the Jewish people. Now, you would have thought, listen, after all, he was a Navi and everything, and he gave Jewish people great brachas, so therefore he deserves a place in Elamabah. We're saying that no.
He didn't give it,
Hashem made him do it, but nevertheless, it came through him. You would think the Gagwan was Zakai or something, and therefore we're saying no, Beloy Om, he's without the people. He doesn't have any place in Gan Eden together with the people, together with the Jewish people. Davar Acher, another explanation. Bilam is called Shebila Om because he confused and wore out the people by giving the advice to Balak, because we're going to learn later on in the Gemara, to have the Jewish people sin with the daughters of Moab. So therefore, he's called for that Bola. He mixed up and confused the people. And then caused 24,000 Jews to die in a plague. Why is he called Ben Ba'ur? Shabal Be'ir, he had relations with an animal. As the Gemara is going to say later on, he had relations with his donkey.
Oh.
There is the interesting question whether, when we say over here Ben Ba'ur, and we're saying is the Gemara saying that he himself is a person who had relations, so that Ben doesn't always mean a son of, sometimes it means a person who has such a quality. So does it mean that he was, or does it mean that his father, Ba'ur, was the one who did, and we see therefore that Bilam comes from such lowly stock. There was actually an interesting point that Shalak Kaddish says on this, that Ba'ur and Bilam are actually the same person. In other words, that they have, like, they share the same neshama. In fact, Rashi says over here, Oviv Shem, Rashi says in the next line over here, Hu Ba'ur, Oviv Shal Bilam, the Shalak Kaddish says, it's actually supposed to be Hu Bilam. Rashi says, we should correct the words of Rashi to say that Ba'ur is Bilam, that they're the same person, meaning they have the same neshama. Anyway, the Gemara says, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, Hu Ba'ur, Hu Kushan Rishasayim, Hu Lovan Harami. We have three people mentioned in various places who are actually all the same person, meaning they're all the same Gilgal or whatever. You have the father of Bilam, or according to Shalar Kaddish, Bilam himself, is also the same as Kushan Rishasayim, who is mentioned in Sefer Shoftim. He was, after Yeshua passed away, the first enemy to attack the Jewish people was this Kushan Rishasayim, the king of Aram, and then Asniel ben Knaz defeated him. He's the same as Ba'ur, he's also the same as Ba'ur, and who Lavan Harami, and he's also the same as Lavan Harami. In other words, over and over, he was starting up with and attacking the Jewish people. Why does he have all these names? Ba'ur Shabal Be'ir, he's called Ba'ur because he had relations with an animal. Kushan Rishasayim, he's called Da'ovid Shtei Rish Oyes B'Yisrael, because he acted wickedly against the Jewish people twice. Achas Vimei Yaakov, one in Yaakov in his times, where Lavan Bikish Lakar Sakol, like we say in Agave, he tried to uproot and destroy the whole Jewish people. Ba'achas and the second time, in the time of the Shoftim, where he came as a king of Aram and was attacking the Jewish people and subjugating them for 8 years before Asniel ben Knaz defeated them.
This was, we're talking right here about Kushuk.
Kushan Rishasayim was so in Sefer
Shoftim. Around both places.
Okay, so you have like this in Sefer Shoftim. It describes you were having good. It had over and over again in Sefer Shoftim. You have the Jewish. There was a cycle. The Jewish people would worship Avodah Zarah and do other Averis. Therefore, Hashem would cause some Goyish nation to become powerful and dominate them for some years. Eventually, the people would do tshuva. Then Hashem would send the Shoftim. The Shoftim was around all that time. He's trying to get the people to do tshuva. Eventually, he'd get them to do tshuva. Then they would fight against the enemy and be victorious. And the Shoftim would guide them for the rest of his life, and then after he passed away, they would relapse into Avodah Zarah, and the whole cycle would start over and over again. So the beginning of that cycle, the Pasuk describes, after Yeshua and the Zkenim passed away, then you had people were doing that, and then Hashem sent this Kushan Rishasayim, the king of Aram, and he dominated the Jewish people and harassed them for 8 years, and then eventually they did tshuva, by Yitzhak Ubnei Yisrael Hashem, and then Hashem brought Asniel ben Knaz, the Shoftim of that time, who defeated Kushan Rishasayim. So now the Gemara is saying Kushan Rishasayim is not his real name. He's called that. He's called that because Rishasayim, because he did two rishus, two wickednesses against the Jewish people. We're saying he was Lavan, or Mashmo Lavan Arami Shmo, his real name is Lavan Arami. And then he's called Kushan Rishasayim because of the double risha that first in Yaakov's times, Bikish Lakar Sakoli, tried to uproot the Jewish people. And now, all these centuries later, he, or his Gilgal, whatever, is trying again to harass and defeat the Jewish people. Therefore, he's called Kushan Rishasayim, and again, he's also called Ba'ur, because he had relations with Ba'ur, with an animal.
The word Ba'ur,
Meloshin Be'ir, with the Meloshin Be'ir, which means an animal. Be'ir, yeah. Be'ir, yeah. Be'ir,
okay.
Be'ir, yeah. The Gemara says also, Ksiv ben Ba'ur, Ksiv benoi Ba'ur. Now, going back to Bilam then, in some places it describes him as ben Ba'ur, which means the son of Ba'ur, and then in other places it says benoi Ba'ur, which literally means his son is Ba'ur. So what does that mean? Was Ba'ur his father or his son? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yechanan, Ovid benoi hu loy benevius. Ba'ur is his father, but he's like Tophel, he's like secondary to him in Nevius, meaning Bilam was a greater Navi than his father. So Ba'ur definitely was a Navi. Tosfos points out elsewhere, the Gemara has a rule in Bava Basra that whenever it mentions a Navi and his father's name, means the father was a Navi also. So if Bilam is called Bnoi Ba'ur, is called Ben Ba'ur, then we know his father Ba'ur had to have been a Navi. But nevertheless, Bnoi, he's like a secondary, he's like a son relative to his power of Navius. Okay, the Gemara says, Bilam hu deloy osi la'amu da'osi. Now, let's consider a minute. We're saying that Bilam is not going into Olam Abba, doesn't have a chelik Olam Abba. Ha shar goy machrini osu. So the implication seems to be that other goyim will have a chelik Olam Abba. Masnissin mani, well, then who is our Mishnah according to? Rabbi Yeshua. Our Mishnah then would be according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya, Rabbi Yezer, I mean, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says in Tilim, Yashuvu Rishoyim L'Sho'ila, the Goyim will return to Sho'il, which is a name for Gan Eden, which is a name for Gehenim, sorry, Kol Goyim Shecheche Elikim, all the Goyim were forgotten about Hashem. So what does that Pasuk mean? So he doubts Yeshuva to Shoyim Shoyla Elu Poshe Yisrael. This refers to Jewish Poshim who are judged in Gehenim and lose their place in Olam Haba. Kol goyim shcheich elakim. And when the pasuk continues, all the goyim who have forgotten Hashem, elu koshe evdik chavim. Or that's really a change by the censor. It's really supposed to be umas ha'olam, the nations of the world. So therefore, the pasuk is saying that the nations of the world who have forgotten and abandoned Hashem and worship Avodah Zarah or whatever, so none of them have a place to lamba. So that's Rabbi Eliezer. Give me Rabbi Eliezer. Omalei Rabbi Yeshua. So Rabbi Yeshua says no. V'chinema b'chol goyim or k'chol goyim. No, because the pasuk doesn't say. If the pasuk said Yeshuva Rishon L'Shoyla k'chol goyim, like all the goyim, then yeah, it would mean that the poshei Yisrael are ending up in Gehenna and don't have a place on the Rabba like the goyim. But it doesn't say that. So therefore, so in other words, the pasuk is not comparing two different groups. It's saying who are the ones Yeshuva Rishon L'Shoyla, namely the Kol Goyim Shchech Elikim. Ella, so that's how we dashin. Yeshuva Rishon L'Shoyla, Man Ninhu, who are the Rishoyim who end up in Sheol and never get out of them? Kol Goyim Shchech Elikim, all the Goyim who've forgotten Hashem. I mean, the goyim who are rishoyim, so they don't have a place on the lamba. But in other words, you have the chassidim or masoilim who do have a place on the lamba, and therefore, so on Mishnah is following that. So saying, so you would have thought Bilam being a navi and all that, maybe he's in that category, and we're saying no, he doesn't have a chevik on the lamba. Rashi points out, we had earlier in the parak, for example, we said that when Mashiach comes, there's going to be goyim who graze our sheep and do our other work for us so that we can be oisik v'toro v'chochma, as the Rambam phrases it. So therefore, so they're all going to be goyim, lost in love, and they're the ones, according to Rabbi Yeshua, they're the ones who respected and who respected Hashem and didn't forget about Hashem, so they have a place in the Mabba. And the Gemara says, "Va'af oisei Rosha nosin simin ba'atzmai." That Rosha Bilam, in fact, gave a simin for himself. How is he going to show that he doesn't have a chelik lamaba? Omar, because he says, "Thomas nafshi mois yisharim." He says, "Let my soul die the death of the righteous." Meaning, he says, "Im Thomas nafshi mois yisharim." If I die in the way that righteous people do, meaning a natural death, keheach. Then he says, "So the pasuk goes, Thomas nafshi mois yisharim mos hiach risi kamoyu." He says, "Let me die the death of the upright." And let my end be like theirs. So he's saying this is, in other words, like a cause and effect. If I die most yishorim keheach risi kamoyu, then it shows, and I know that means my end, my olam haba, is going to be like theirs, like the Jewish people's. The imlav, and if not, and then he says to Balak later in the parasha, hinini holach la'ami, behold, I'm going to my people, meaning I'm going where all my other people go, to Gehenna. The fact is, he didn't die a natural death, because he was killed, and he was killed during the war against Midian, based Bilam ben Bar, hoge b'chorev, so therefore, so he himself realized that means he's not getting a chelik olam haba.
Was he the one asked to be spread out all ashes over?
No, that was Titus. That's a Chorban Bayis Sheni. Next, now the Gemara is going to douse in some psukim regarding the whole story with Bilam. The pasuk is Vayelcho Ziknei Moya v'Ziknei Midian. The elders of Moya and the elders of Midian went to go to talk to Bilam. Tana. And Tana, Midian and Moav v'Ha'olam Shalom Ha'olam. Midian and Moav had never gotten along, but now they joined together. Now they joined forces to attack the Jewish people. Moshe, the Shnei Klovim Shayu Be'Eder. So it's like two dogs in the herd of dogs. But Sehuvin Zelazet. They were always Sehuvin literally means yellow, but it means they were always angry one another. It actually says like a person gets angry, his face turns colors. So therefore, pon and pnei Sehuvin Zelazet is a way of saying that they're always angry with one another. But then a wolf comes to attack one of them. Omar Acha, the other one says to himself, If I don't help him today, Hayom Horeg Oisai, today he'll kill him, or Mocha, Balai, and then the next day he'll come and attack me. So the two of them go together and kill the wolf. The same way, Moav and Midian were never getting along, but now they joined forces to attack the Jewish people because they figured that otherwise the Jewish people are going to defeat them in detail, first defeat one and then the other.
Who's the wolf here?
The wolf over here represents the Jewish people. They're considering the Jewish people are a danger to both of their nations. But they're saying, if the Jewish people attack Moav and conquer them and defeat them, then Midian is next. So therefore, so they join forces about this perceived threat from the Jewish people. of an apophis. And apophis says, Hainu da'amri inchi. This is like the expression that people say, karkushta v'shunra, the weasel and the cat, which usually are creatures that never get along, ovdu hilula mitayra de bishgada, they together made a party with the fact of bad mazel. So in other words, the point is, again, when there's bad mazel going on over here, then even the weasel and the cat, which are natural enemies, are going to join forces. So the same way, in other words, even Midian and Moab, who were always eternal enemies, but they make up over here in order to attack the Jews. Yeah. Okay. Next, the pasuk says, "Vayeshu sorei Moab in Bilam." The elders of Moab, the princes of Moab remained with Bilam. So the question is, "Vasorei Midian, Mahesan also, where the princes of Midian go?" The answer is, "Kiven to Amalahu linu poya laila." When Bilam tells them, "Stay overnight over here," and I'll answer you as Hashem speaks to me. Omru, so they said to themselves, have you ever heard of a father who hates his children? So in other words, if it depends on Hashem, if he has to ask Hashem for permission, of course Hashem is going to tell him no, so then why should we even bother staying? There was a different point that some Mephoshim point out also. The fact is, the princes of Moab built, and Balak is the king of Moab, so they really have no choice but to stay. They can't disobey their king's orders, as opposed to Midian and only gone along, for like we're saying, in order to join forces with them. So fine, if they realize that there's nothing to it anyway, then they may as well not bother. The Gemara says, Omer of Nachman, chutzpah, afilu klakli shmaya mahani. A person being chutzpahdik and openly defying Hashem is sometimes even effective against Hashem, so to speak. Because we see, first Hashem tells Bilam, don't go with them, but then when the second set of nobles come, and then Bilam tells them that I want to ask Hashem, maybe he's going to allow me again, then Hashem tells him, kum leich itam, go and get up when ksiv. So the passage says, kum leich itam, go with them. So in other words, so to speak, his chutzpah is effective enough that Hashem, so to speak, changes his mind and says, fine, you want to go, then go ahead. Omer of Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says in this connection, chutzpah malchusa b'lo togi. Chutzpah is like an uncrowned king. It's got like the power of a king. All it's lacking is the crown. Marshall compares it to al derech like you have. In other words, imagine a person who makes himself king just based on pure koyach and pure chutzpah. So that's what we're saying, that's what it's like, as opposed to a person who inherits the crown from his ancestors. Dichtiv, as we find an example, so earlier in the Masechta we talked several times about the whole story with Yoav and David. You have the point where Yoav killed Avner, and David is very, very upset about it, because Avner was trying to make peace between all the Shevatim, and people are going to suspect that David had a hand in the murder, etc. But so David said to people, why am I not punishing Yoav and his brother Avishai, who were both involved in this killing? He says, well, Nushniayim Rach Moshuach Melach, I am today newly crowned as king, but these men, the sons of Tsruya, Yoav and Avishai, are too powerful, too hard, too strong for me. In other words, they have too much power and too much popularity, and I can't punish them as they deserve.
They were nephews?
They were his nephews, but they were also his generals. So in other words, he's saying, in other words, that even though I'm Rashuach Melech, but nevertheless, I'm still weak compared to them. So we see, in other words, their chutzpah is like an uncrowned king. So like David is saying, my power of kingship, the fact that I was anointed as a king, is not really strong enough to stand up to them. The Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Bilam chiga beraglei achasoya. Bilam was lame in one leg. Shenema, the pasuk says, Vayelach shefi, he went shefi. The word shefi means going out. Rashi explains, like you have in a Gemara, Vuka da'achma de shof mi duchde. You have the hip that gets dislocated from its socket. So the word shefi means dislocated, so therefore it means that he was lame, he limped on one leg. Now the words therefore he went limping. The point Marashah says, in other words, even so, that didn't prevent him from trying to go and curse the Jewish people. He's going even though it's hard for him to go. Nevertheless, he's still putting in the effort. Shimshin b'shtei raglov. Shimshin was lame in both legs. Shenema, as the pasuk says on him in Yaakov's bracha, to shave it down, shvifoin alei arach, he's like a shvifoin, which is a type of snake, on the road, hanoshech ikvesus, which bites the heels of the horse, the same way Shimshin kept on attacking the plishtim like a snake jumping out, like a snake crawling out and biting. The point is, shvifoin, it shows a double shefi. And the point is, Fakir, that even though he was lame and he could have said, you know what, I can't really do much, he pulled himself together and went on Mesiras Nefesh over and over to fight against the Plishtim and save the Jewish people. Next, Bilam Suma Be'enot
Ba'at. Does it say how he came both legs?
It doesn't say, but it doesn't say. As far as Bilam, though, that he was lame in one leg, one point is that actually when he's going with the donkey, and at one point, the donkey is pressing itself against the wall when it's afraid of the Malach, so then it pressed his leg against the wall, so then it broke his leg and made him, dislocated his leg and made him lame. But yeah, as far as Shimshin, that he was lame in both legs, it doesn't say where that happened yet. Bilam suma ba'achas me'enav hoya. Furthermore, Bilam was blind in one eye, shenemash suma ha'oyin. As the pasuk says, the one with the open eye. So Rashi explains, in other words, like you have one eye is completely removed, and you have, and then, so no, Rashi explains, in other words, it means like this. If we're saying his eye is open, that implies only one eye is open. It means the other eye is closed. Rashi explains, others say that shsum is like sisum, but no, that's not what it means. On the Pasuk, actually, Rashi gives a different explanation. Shsuma oyed means his eye was completely removed so that the socket is open. You see an actual open socket there where his eye is supposed to be. So therefore we see he's blind in one eye. Later on, the Gemara explains, Rashi brings in on the Pasuk that he spoke disrespectfully about Hashem, and therefore he lost his, spoke disrespectfully about what Hashem sees, and for that he lost his eye. So the Gemara continues. Also, koisem ba mosev. He also was doing something. Was doing kishuv using his male organ, like we learned earlier in the Masechta about malab zchure, a person who uses his male organ to do oiv magic. So the same way he was doing that kind of thing. Ksiv hacha noifel gluye noyim, because here we see that Bilam describes himself as falling with his eyes open. Uchtiv asem vehine homan noifel ala mitzvah gomer. Homan was falling on the bed that Esther was on, and then Achashverosh thought that he's trying to rape her. So therefore we see that the word noifel is referring to Haman, also means that he's falling and he's using his aver for this kind of thing. Tosfos actually earlier in the Masechta disagrees with it. They have a different explanation. They have a different explanation of this phrase malab zchure. Anyway, they understand it doesn't necessarily mean the zchure of the machashif, but rather it means in particular, for example, we find by Shaul on the witch, she didn't have a zchure, she was a woman. Tosfos earlier says that malab zchure doesn't necessarily mean using the male organ. It just means that's the name of the kishuf. So they might disagree over here as well what it means exactly, but anyway, next, Itmar. So we learn that there was a machloikus on this. Mazutra oma koisim amosaraya. Mazutra says, as we just said, that he used his organ for his kishuf. Mabredirabina says another meaning of the word noifil means that he had relations with his donkey, like we said before. Mando oma koisim amosaraya kidamoran. As we said, because of the pasuk noifil gluye noyim. The opinion that says he had relations with his donkey. Why? Because Ksiv Hocha Korah Shochav, we see that he describes in one of his brachas to the Jewish people, he says they lie down, they crouch. We find by Sisra with Yoel, where the Pasuk uses the same expressions, Korah and Shochav, to mean that he had relations with her. The Gemara explains in a few places that Yoel seduced Sisra, so he would have relations with her, so he'd be tired out, and then she could kill him, and the Gemara darshens it from those words, Korah, Nofal, Shochav. So we see that the words Korah and Shochav refer to having relations. So therefore it means the same thing by Bilam. And now, Agoris Agro actually takes out this phrase, because what do you mean? Those words, Korah Shochav, are referring to the Jewish people. They're not referring to Bilam. We're learning it from the word Noifel. We're learning it from the fact that he's described as falling. But on the other hand, the fact is the Rashash explains, listen, so why is Bilam using this phrasing in his bracha? Korah Shochav is because this kind of thing is on his mind. So therefore, he's the type of person to do this kind of thing, to be mezana with an animal, and therefore that comes out in his phrasing that he uses for the bracha to the Jewish people. Next, he says in one of his nevuas, he says v'yadea das elyon. He knows the mind of the high one of Hashem. So what do you mean? Hashta das behemta lehava yada. He didn't even know the mind of his animal, as the Gemara brings further down, where he had the argument with his animal with the donkey. Yeah, And well, he didn't even see the malach, but yeah, he's also arguing back and forth with the animal. So das elyon habiyada, how could he possibly claim that he knows the mind of Hashem? So before the Gemara gives the answer, the Gemara explains, the Gemara interjects, my das behemtoi. What do we mean that he doesn't know the das of his animal? So like this, the Amrilei, the people who were with him ask him, my time, why aren't you riding on a horse? Wouldn't that be something more appropriate, quicker and more appropriate for a distinguished person like you? Omalahu, he answers them, Shadori Lahu Biratiba. I do have horses, but I do have a horse, but I left it in the meadow. It's grazing over there, and therefore I didn't take it along. Omrelay, so the donkey answers him back, no, that's not true. Halayo Noichi Asoncha, behold, I am your donkey. So in other words, you don't have a horse, you have me, your donkey. So she's kind. Now the point is, though, no, Bilam couldn't even realize that his donkey is going to preempt him and make this argument. There was a cute vote, by the way, that they say on this that he's actually referring back all the way to Makas Borod and Mitzrayim. We know the Pasuk says that anybody who was Yorius Dvar Hashem took in their animals, and anyone who Asher Loid Som Libra Dvar Hashem left his animals outside in the field, and they were destroyed by Makas Borod. So the vote is that Bilam is saying, you know why I don't have a horse? Because back then at Makas Borod I left it out, and therefore it got killed. And therefore, I don't have a horse.
He wasn't son, was he?
So it's interesting. Later on, the Gemara says further on Daf Kuf Vav that Bilam lived to be 33 years old. Now, we find him, the story with him in the Torah, with him and Bilam, is in the 40th year of the Jewish people in the desert, which would have to mean that he was born a few years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. That said, we said before that he's identical with Lavan. We said that we have the Midrashim that say that he was an advisor to Pare, that he was the one who advised Pare to enslave the Jewish people. So it's evidently different Midrashim about how old Hitaka was. So therefore, so this vote would also be according to that. Okay, so he continues, fine, Latina Baalma, fine, you're right, I have you as my donkey, but I only use you to carry burdens. No, she answers back, Asher Rachav to Olai, that you ride on me. In other words, the whole pasuk goes like this, the donkey says to him, Aloyach Anoichi Asoncha, aren't I your donkey? Asher Rachav to Olai Me'odcha Deyemazeh, that you've ridden on me ever from the beginning until now, Ha'haskin Iskanti Lasafachokoi, have I ever been used to doing such a thing to you before, crouching down and pressing your arm, your leg against the wall, etc., etc. And by Yemeloy, and he says no. So now the Gemara is darshaning phrase by phrase what the donkey is telling him, that this is all this dialogue between them. So first he's claiming that he has a horse. So she's telling him, no, haloyo no chiasoncha. He says, fine, I only use you for carrying packages. She says, no, Asher Rachav to Olai, that you rode on me. He says, fine, Akroi Ba'alma, once in a while I rode on you. No, me'od chada yemazeh, from the beginning until now, you've always ridden on me. V'loy oed, not only that, the donkey continues, Elashani oisilach, ma'isi ishus balayla. At night, you treat me as your wife, as we said before, he has relations with it. And how do we know that? Simhocha ha'haskin iskanti, because here the donkey is using the expression ha'haskin iskanti, which literally means have I been accustomed to do this kind of thing. Ochtivasim, ochtivay sechenes. We find with Avishag Ashunamis, with David, where she's described as sechenes, his warmer. So she lay with him. They didn't actually have relations, but the point is we see that lying together can be described as soichin. So haskin iskanti means that you've been using me for that purpose. So again, the point is that Bilam doesn't even know to be able to predict what his donkey is going to be able to say in answer to him, so he doesn't even know the das of the donkey. How could he claim, my via dead das elyon, what does it mean that he claims to know the mind of Hashem? He knows the precise moment when Hashem is angry. The Gemara explains in Brachas that there's one moment every day when Hashem is angry. So he was planning to take advantage of that. The Gemara, by the way, it says there that it's a tiny fraction of a second. So how would he be able to do anything? There's different explanations. Tosfos says over there that he could have said one single word during that time. He said kalim, which means destroy them. And in fact, the explanation is that instead Hashem transformed his klolos into brachas, and therefore the word kalim instead became the word melach, as in his brachas usuras melach boy. So that's one. The other explanation is that he could start his klola at that time and then continue afterwards, and it would still be effective as long as he started it during that time. Yeah. So he knew that precise moment. Thus we find, hundreds of years later, the Novi Micha says to the Jewish people, we have this in our Torah, Parshas Balak, appropriately enough, Ami, my people, Zechona Mayas Balak Melach Mayav, remember what Balak Melach Mayav came up with the idea, Omer Ona Oysa Bilam Ben Ba'ur, and what Bilam Ben Ba'ur responded to him, Mina Shittim An Vada Gilgal, Hashem took you from Shittim across the Yarden to Gilgal in Eretz Yisrael, Laman Das Tzidkas Hashem, so that you should know the righteousness and that you should know the righteousness and the tzedakah of Hashem. So my l'man das tzedakah Hashem. Why is he stressing the tzedakah of Hashem? It means Amalehan Hakadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. Means Hashem is telling the Jewish people through the Navi, Deuna kamat tzedakah sisisi machem. Look how much tzedakah I did with you. That all those days, whenever Bilam was trying to curse you, I didn't get angry on those days. Even though every day we're saying Hashem is angry for a moment, but those days I didn't do that. Had I gotten angry any of those days, then his clothes would have been effective. There wouldn't have been left of the enemies of the Jewish people, meaning the Jewish people themselves, there wouldn't have been the tiniest remnant left. So therefore, that's a tzedakah, and the Navi is telling the Jewish people, remember that tzedakah, and then serve Hashem and stop with the Avodah Zarah. Behind it, Bilam leBalak. Thus, we find that Bilam says to Balak, he says, "Mo ekayv, how can I curse like Kabbai Kale when Hashem doesn't want to curse? Or Mo ezayim leZalam Hashem, and how can I be angry? Mo ekayv like Kabbai Kale again. Oisin ayomim. The plus continues. Mo ezayim, how can I be angry leZalam Hashem when Hashem is not angry? Which means we're going to Oisin ayomim or hayomim leZalam Hashem. These days, Hashem is not being angry, so therefore my clawless are not able to take effect." So we see that was a special chesed that Hashem did. So the Gemara says, now the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Kel Zoyim B'chol Yoyim, Hashem is angry every day, but Kama Zamoy Rega, how long is Hashem's anger, is a Rega, a tiny fraction of a second. In other places where the Gemara brings this, in Brachas and in Avodah Zarah, it gives a number, although the numbers are actually different in the two places, in Brachas and in Avodah Zarah, what the fraction is, but it's a tiny fraction of a second. So there's Shanema, as the Pasuk says, Ki rega ba'apoy, a rega is Hashem's anger, chayim birtsoin yivagamer, life is with Hashem's desire. So in other words, Hashem is angry for only a rega. Another Pasuk expresses the same point. Leich ami boy b'chaderecha, go my people, come into your private rooms, usgur d'los chabadecha, and close your doors behind you. Chavi chemat rega, hide yourself for a moment, ad yavar zam, until the anger of Hashem passes. So we see, in other words, that Hashem's anger is for only a moment. The Gemara says, Emas Rosach, when is Hashem angry? Sometime the Tlas Shoy Kamaisa, sometime during the first 3 hours of the day, and the simon for it, Ki Chavra Karvalta Tanagola, when the crest on a rooster's head turns white. Normally that crest is red, and then for a moment over there it turns white. So Bilam had the special ability to notice that and to be able to realize that that's the moment when he thought would be effective. The Gemara brings this whole thing in Brachas as well. So yeah, the Gemara says, what do you mean? Kol shaita v'shaiti na machavra. A lot of times that crest turns white, not just during the first 3 hours and not just for a rega. The answer is kol shaita v'shaita ispa suraiki sumvi. And all of the times it still has red streaks in it. The blood vessels, shahi shaita, that moment, lest by suraiki sunki, there's no red streaks in it at all, it turns completely white. Now, white, by the way, is the color of chesed, so it represents that even at that moment, when Hashem has his zam, when you have a moment of total gvura over there, nevertheless, you still have chesed of the Eibishter in the world. So the Gemara tells a story. There was a min in Rabbi Shur ben Levi's neighborhood, and he was causing Rabbi Shur ben Levi trouble elsewhere. When the Gemara brings the story, it says that he was troubling him with psukim. He would always quote psukim and try to use them to prove his wrong ideas. And then Rabbi Shur ben Levi was tired of it. Yom Echada, Yom Echad, one day knock at Tanagulta, or Tanagulog, really it's supposed to be. He took a rooster, the Ostale Bakare, he tied it to the legs of his bed, Rabbi Shur ben Levi, the Oisim, and he's sitting over there waiting. Omri, he thinks to himself, Ki Mota, who Shaita, when that moment comes, and the rooster's comb turns white, Alatye, then I will curse him. Ki Mota, who Shaita, Nimnem. But then when that moment came, Rabbi Shur ben Levi had fallen asleep. So Omar, he realized to himself, Shmamina, I see from that, Lav Orach Ara, it's not Derech Eretz, because Hashem doesn't want us to curse Rishoyim. Instead, Hashem wants that they should do Tshuva. As the Pasuk says, Gam Anush LaTzadik Lo Toiv, even punishing for the Tzadikim is not good, meaning that the Tzadikim shouldn't be punishing people, Afilu B'mini Lo, they shouldn't even be punishing Minim. So fine, minim, you even have meridin v'lo malin, you throw them into a pit or something if you find them, you don't ever save their life, but nevertheless, lo yibor lo lemei mehochi, it's not appropriate to use the time of Hashem's anger to curse them. So in other words, you can punish them if necessary. For example, by throwing them into a pit. Tosfos explains elsewhere, but nevertheless, but you shouldn't be asking Hashem to do it. You shouldn't be using this anger of Hashem to curse them and then cause them to be punished in Hashemayim. This point, by the way, that we're saying about the rooster's comb, some of Forsham explained Bilam is the first one who discovered this and told everybody else about this. You have to ask, so what's so special? If Rabbi Shurban Levi, for example, could notice the moment when the comb turns white and so can anybody else, then what's so special about Bilam? The verdict is he's the one who discovered this point, that when the rooster's comb turns white, that it means Hashem is angry at that moment, and he's the one who taught it to everybody. So the Gemara continues. Tonim Shmei did a Meir. We learn in a Brisa in the name of a Meir. B'shasha Hamazerachas. Why is Hashem angry at a certain moment every morning when the sun rises? V'amalochem manichem kisrein on Hashem. The kings, the Goyish kings, put their crowns on their heads. U'mishtachvim l'chama. And they bow to the sun. Miyad koyes, and right away Hashem gets angry. So that's why. That's why you have that moment. That's why you have that moment during the morning when Hashem is angry. One point is, in other words, that these kings are saying to themselves, we're kings, we have crowns, we have power, but they're as if saying, instead of attributing that power to Hashem, they're attributing it to the sun, so then Hashem is very upset with that, that you're taking the cover that should go to Hashem, where the king's cover is a reflection of Hashem's, and instead you're attributing it to the sun. The pasuk says about Bilam by Yochum, Bilam Aboka. Bilam woke up in the morning by Yachvesh Asasone, and he saddled his donkey. So why did he saddle his own donkey? Tana Mishrim of Shimon Elazar, Avama Matelas Shurash Ogdula. We can see that when a person loves, then that causes them to go to override the normal order, the normal row of order of things of how a person does when he's great. May Avraham, we see it from Avraham, Dichtiv by Yashkim Avraham Aboka, because we see Avraham woke up early in the morning and saddled his donkey for the Akedah. He loved Hashem so much that he's not going to wait for one of his servants to do it. He did it himself. And also, cinema matelas shorosh ogdula, and hatred does the same kind of thing. Bilam, we see that from Bilam. Shenemeva yokam Bilam aboker vayachvash asasani. He got up and saddled his own donkey again because he hates the Jewish people so much. He didn't want to wait for one of his servants to do it. He does it himself. So fine. We'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue darshaning the story of Bilam and the brachas of Bilam and so on and so forth.